of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight, we're going to be discussing the price of the pandemic. And don't believe that there isn't a price for having a pandemic. I'm going to do a few of them, not all of them, but just to give you an idea of what's going on or what has going on and is continued to go on. The first one that I found very interesting because there's some shortage that have been created. And one of them was for the computers and electronics, like the tablets and things like that. So they're becoming very expensive because there's a shortage, if you didn't know. There's a shortage of them. So the prices are higher. That was one. And another one was food. Of course, we know that. We know that the price of food broke a six-year record in December. Grocery stores are facing higher expenses to keep the customers safe because they have to do all those wiping every time. They need to hire more staff. And some of these sanitation places are not that nice, and that's what I'll say. But I've given you two. We were talking about the electronics, and we're talking about the food. And the grocery prices will be getting higher, and a lot of the grocers began offering their employees more health insurance benefits to keep them there and to keep them safe. And of course, the cost gets passed on to whom? To us. So just be expecting that your food is going to be higher. And I know you know some of the things that have changed. The restaurants have been hit really hard. They need someone to work. None of these, everybody, everywhere I've gone, I see a help wanted sign. Now, I don't know if it's because of the stimulus that we were getting from the president. Is that what's keeping people at home? I don't know. But there are a lot of jobs that these people need somebody to help. So we'll see in about, what, a couple of months? And then another thing is furniture. That's something that went up to, of course, when you're staying at home, you can see, oh, okay, you know what, I'm going to change that, and I'm going to change this. And, oh, I need something else. So, hey, you got, you know, your furniture because you're sitting there all day, 24 hours. And one I know that we all can understand, and that's the gas. So they say the gasoline prices jumped 8.4% in December after two consecutive months of falling prices. So now they're getting higher because a lot of the people are going back to work. Whereas they were sitting at home, they didn't have to use gas, use their cars. So now that they have to go back to work, you know, and nobody was using the gas, now people are using it, and it's higher. And right now I'm going to stop and introduce you guys to my co-host, Mr. Coleman. Glad to see, well, not see you, but I'm glad you made it. How you doing?
Good. Hey, Jenny White. How you doing this evening?
Okay. Just trying
good,
to get some of these things out that have, the prices have gone up with the pandemic.
Well, I know it the has, price of my sushi done gone up. And they now they're trying to charge me taxes on it.
On sushi?
On sushi from the grocery store.
I thought they didn't tax food.
That's what I told them. They gave me my money back. Gave me the tax back.
Oh, okay. But if you hadn't said anything.
Hey, if I hadn't said anything, they would have charged me that 51-cent tax and kept it moving.
Wow. Okay. Well, everything is going on. I mean, I was giving them a little bit of some of the things that have gone up. And we talked about the furniture. We talked about the electronics. We talked about food. You know, we talked about gas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they were saying that the grocers are giving their employees medical. I'm assuming they didn't have it initially, but you know, they're doing that. And of course, you know who gets the money? The consumers. They pass that on to the consumers. So we all, every time we go in the store, if it used to be 20 cents, now it's 50. So just be looking for that. And another thing that has gotten kind of different and expensive, home exercise equipment. People have
not been surprised.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I bought a bike.
Oh, what kind of bike you have?
Oh, I don't know. It's just one that pedals. I don't know the name of it.
You talking about a stationary bike?
Yes. Yes.
The what do you call the bike you exercise on?
Exercise bike.
No.
I didn't get you talking about that one that child got killed?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
You know this, what was it, Peloton.
What, Peloton?
Yes. Yes.
What about it?
Didn't you know that a child went under the treadmill? And
no, I hadn't heard that story.
Oh, yes. A child went under and they died. So
they give warnings about children and the exercise equipment.
And they showed something on TV. They showed a baby going right under that.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yes.
I've seen that.
We have a listener that wants to make a statement. Hi, TC. How are you?
I'm doing great. that was a treadmill, and I think the kid had called himself, they left it running, and the little baby had to crawl on top of it and got flung under the bottom of that exercise equipment. You know,
right.
But like anything else, you know, everything is not made to sit out everywhere. You know, so that's why, you know, when you get stuff like that, you have to do make some type of assessment of what you're going to be doing. But what I wanted, when you were talking about the computer chips and all that stuff, there's a shortage.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, well, that's with the car companies. Because ever since they went to this just-in-time delivery, that actually cuts down the amount of product that you have coming in, because you normally have maybe 2 weeks' worth of work, okay? And by everybody being locked down, of course, the chip people have the same problem that everybody else has. You know, if they're at a workplace, they can't, you know, there are not enough people to work, or people scared about the pandemic and all that stuff. And besides, now all of them come from China, if I'm not mistaken. And so, you know, that may be a six or 7 day trip just to get stuff, you know, in order to keep the car companies running. Because I remember one time when I was out at a plant in Kansas City, there was a It was the bracket that holds the electric. I can't think of it. Anyway, it was there, but it took 6 weeks to get a part from there to the automobile factory here in Michigan, because they had some bad parts, right? So we had to stop using parts because they were cracked. But like I said, by the time it gets travel through Africa by way of a car and whatever, it was 6 days to get to the point where they are actually shipped. Okay, so can you imagine when you get a set of bad parts, you get like 6 to 8 weeks of them before
wow.
you even know that it's bad. So
yeah.
A lot of stuff depends, you know, as we try to use automation and stuff, that normally cuts a lot of people, you know. It reduces the amount of warehouse needed by the companies, but yet it also means that if you have something like in Texas where they had that ice storm, that would have shut down the plants for probably 4 or 5 weeks, depending on where the parts are coming from. You know.
Yeah, that you don't want to have to wait that long, no.
Well, that's what just-in-time delivery meant, and that's what we went through back in the late 90s. Early 2000s, we went into just-time delivery. That's why you'll see trucks sitting outside a plant waiting just in case they need additional stock. Okay, but that's more of a supply issue than it is a people shortage thing, you know. But that's what I had to say about that. But what I wanted to say really about, I think I talked to you about it before. They're talking about herd immunity. Okay.
I'm sorry?
You had mentioned about herd immunity, about the virus and all that.
Okay.
I don't know if people realize there's two types of herd immunity, right? There was the type that Trump was talking about, that which means you let the whole country catch it, and then you know, only the strong will survive, and then everybody else will have herd immunity. The only problem was you lose 6 or 7 million people before you got to the herd immunity if you let everybody get sick. And then there was the herd immunity, like Dr. Fauci was talking about, where you actually attack the virus and you control the virus. Because if you notice, we've been at 500,000 deaths for about what? 4, 5, 6 months. You know, we haven't reached the 600,000 deaths where before we were reaching 1,000 deaths, what, every day, every 2 days, every 3 days, you know.
So how do you control it? How are you supposed to control it? Because I'm sure if you can do that, a whole bunch of people would not be gone.
Well, you got to remember, this was a brand new virus that, as far as people, population is concerned, but it
right.
wasn't as far as the sciences was concerned. So, you know, it takes any time you do anything different or new, it takes time before you actually understand what all the problems are. We had to find, you know, how long they're going to last. Because remember, we didn't even start running tests on people until about, what, last year, February sometimes, when all the companies got together, you know, the pharmacy got together and decided to, you know, attack this virus, because Trump was just going to let it run wild. Because he had already said, well, if we lose 2 million, 3 million people, that's no big deal. You know,
well,
so the only thing that really has saved us has been the vaccine, right? Because that has actually slowed at least the death, as well as the, I guess, when people are in hospital time, and oh, I think they said 40 or 50%. So the
thing
was the right one, but at least with Biden there, and someone knows what they're doing, you know, he was able to quickly, you know, get everything under control. And, you know, before you looked around, you know, I don't understand why they keep jumping on him. You know, like, the guy only been in the office 70 days, and they think he's supposed to change the world in 70 days. You know. So,
well, it's been
know.
A little more than that.
Well, I mean,
he got
now
his,
it is.
He got his 100 in.
Yeah, he got it. But what I'm saying is,
no, I know what you mean.
Have you ever tried to solve a problem and somebody gives you an hour and a half to solve it, and they don't even know where it's coming from? You know, certain things takes time. You know, I think we're so used to people flipping a switch and stuff happening, but all problems don't work that way.
Yeah, but that was one of the reasons why when they first came out with the vaccine, I mean, it was just so quickly to me that I didn't really trust it. I mean, you just heard about it, and now all of a sudden you have a vaccine for it.
Have you listened to the black doctor? It was the one that they give credit for solving the problem. She said she had been working on it for, I think she said, 17 years on that strain of a virus.
Yeah, she has Moderna.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, people be working on stuff for a long time. Give you an example. We started working on electric cars back in the 70s about mass producing electric cars. You know, they were running around streets where people just didn't know it. But I can remember back in 77 when I got to the automobile industry, we had at least 10 or 15 out there running. The problem was, the batteries were too big, you know. So you had like two giant batteries that was the size of your car in order to let it run for about 4 or 5 hours. So the technology hadn't caught up with what they need, but now it has.
Well, they're going to have to do something about these driverless cars, because there was one guy on the news who said, he was in this vehicle, and he was in the back because it's transportation, right? And some kind of way, something got in the way of the car, of their mechanism, and it didn't know where to go. And he's sitting in the back, and the car doesn't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing he can do, so he
right.
just has to sit there and wait till this car does something. So I thought that
right.
was really interesting. Why would you want to sit in a car with no driver?
Well, I mean, you never know. Normally, a car dealer that you take your car to is normally about 5 years behind on the technology that the car companies are using now. okay? And a lot of things, you know, we test, you know, I used to go to Denver for high altitude tests, then go down to Phoenix, Arizona for desert tests. You know, if you try to simulate everything that could possibly happen in a car. But some things you never get to until, it, you know, the last minute, or it never occurs till you're getting ready to, you know, market the car. And sometimes you don't find out until the car is marketed, additional stuff that happens, because you haven't thought about those conditions. But I was in charge of the V8 truck, so anytime they had a problem that they couldn't fix, they sent it out to me at the proving ground. And my job was to, you know, analyze, figure out what's going on, and get the problem solved. You don't run into everything. We go high altitude, low altitude, ice cold, you know, 50 degrees below zero. I mean, the stuff we be doing, you know, when it's brand new, we don't know all the time what all the stuff is or what it's going to react in. When they first went to OBD2, which is onboard diagnostic test, a lot of engineers didn't realize how that worked compared to the little prongs that you put in and you lock them in and it sends data around. Because they just thought they'd stick it in this box, and all of a sudden it's supposed to start working. Then we found out, you know, everybody got a specific address in that box. The electrical people, the brake people, you know, all the different modules have their own spot. So I had to learn what their spots was to go back to everybody. Okay, now this is your spot. This is your spot. You put it somewhere else, it ain't going to work. But like I said, like anything else, something new, you have to try it out.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want to be sitting in a car with no driver. And that's me. And they should know that anything, it happens, just like something came in between that young man and the car didn't know what to do. So somebody who put that mechanism in there, they didn't take it. Maybe something will interrupt it. They should have had that together.
Well, like I said, you got to remember, it takes time to find out what's going on. I'll give you a hint. A real small thing, okay? We were launching a car line, and they had what they call, it was a that actually you locked the cable down, and it handled the drivability of the I can't think of what it's called now. I will in a minute. But anyway, we tried to change it over, right? It's supposed to be an easier mix for the operator in the assembly plant. So we put it in the assembly plants, right? Oh, they cried, they yelled, they screamed, they almost called a strike because of it, right? Then we come in 2 months later, the factory that they made that they were complaining about had burnt down, right?
Mm.
So they had the stuff that they didn't like, right? So by the time they got that, you know, got the factory rebuilt and all that stuff, now they don't want to go back to the thing because they said this was better. So no matter what you do, there's always an adjustment time in which you take care of doing. You know, when you cook, don't you stick your finger in the cake to see if it's sweet enough?
No.
You add more, maybe not the finger, a spoon. But, I mean, that's just, you know, the way the automobile, you know, system works. You know, you have things that you never
I'm not a fan of these driverless cars, okay? So, whatever.
I promise
what
I won't tell
happened.
You.
You don't have to.
I'm sorry.
But
that's all right.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, I wanted to take a break, and we'll come back. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know If you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
We'll be back to the Let's Talk About It, Jenny White Show.
Lions Clubs International is a service or membership organization of over 1.7 million members worldwide. It was founded in 1916 in Illinois. Much of the focus of the Lions Club's work as a service club organization is to raise money for worthy causes as first responders. The Lions Club motto is "We Serve." Local Lions Club programs include sight conservation, hearing and speech conservation, diabetes awareness, youth outreach, international relations, environmental issues, and many other programs. The Lions acronym also stands for Liberty, Intelligence, Our Nation's Safety. For more information, contact us at lionsclubs.org.
As an author, you understand the devastation of someone plagiarizing your work. But what if someone stole your identity? Protect yourself and your family with identity theft protection. Services include credit monitoring, credit reports and scores from all three credit bureaus, social security number, emails, credit cards, bank account monitoring, and social media monitoring from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For more information, call 248-525-7680.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
And we're back to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Well, we're back to the Jenny White Show. Tonight we're talking about the pandemic, and we're talking about the price of the pandemic, and it's creating shortages. And we've already gone through about five already, and I'm going to start right with the weddings. The couples had their wedding dreams dashed in 2020 when the large gatherings were banned due to the pandemic. So that was then. And today, it's really interesting because a couple was on the news today and their wedding had been canceled because they didn't have any workers anymore. So this pandemic has done a lot of trouble. I mean, not intentionally, but that's what we're having, that's going on now. So the young lady and the man have to wait to get their money back, and now they got to go and see if they can find another venue. So good luck to them. That's all I have to say. But weddings, and after the weddings was video games and entertainment. Those have, they are very expensive now, and people are home, well, kids too, and they're playing these games, and that's why they're so expensive, because a lot of people want them now. When people are sitting at home and they look over and say, well, we need a new sofa or we need a new refrigerator or washer and dryer, you know, you have to, people go out and purchase. That's just the way it is. But these are some of the things that I'm telling you about, and these are the things that are very expensive now because of the pandemic. And the energy bills, okay, stuck at home, they're keeping their lights on, they're running the heat or the air conditioner more than they would if they were in the office all day. The Energy Information Administration is anticipating that consumers will use 5% more energy for heating this winter, as well as 5% more electricity and 1% more propane and natural gas for non-heating uses, such as running appliances. So that's one thing you can look for when you get your bill. Just know it's going to be different. It's going to be different this time. So, okay. And another one is mail. It's no secret that the U.S. Postal Service has been struggling. Last October, it announced a price increase for 2021, which took effect on January 24th. While the Forever stamp for a first-class letter still costs 55 cents, all other stamp prices have increased by a penny. Okay? And they also need people. My mail, a couple of days ago, we had a little card to say they're looking for people to work for the post office. So if it's anyone out there and you need a job, that's a pretty good one. If that's what you want. And after the mail, it was clothing. People are buying a lot of clothing, and maybe some are purchasing because they might have grown a little bit in the midsection, maybe. I don't know, but I'm just saying that that might be the reason. But clothing has gone up, and they said it hasn't fared so well. And it's a little more expensive. So I don't know. I haven't purchased anything in a minute, so I don't know. Anyway, we have another. Oh, you have something to say? Because we have a listener.
You can take the call.
Okay. Okay, caller, you're on. We're talking about this pandemic.
And how are you this evening, Jenny? And,
I'm fine. How
you
doing?
My wonderful co-host. I'm hanging in
wonderful,
there.
Wonderful.
But you know what? A lot of times, what I can see, especially for what happened in Texas, we put people in office to take care of business, okay, to make sure that, you know, there should be something in place in case things happen. The big problem in Texas was that people who had been elected to offices and things of that nature did not do their job. These people, they're still receiving their salaries, their money, their everything, but they didn't do their job to secure the main areas in Texas. What happened with the grids and all this stuff, it should have been taken care of. It's been going on for the longest. You know, they knew, you know, but instead of taking the money and using it like wisely, they've been doing other things with the money that the taxpayers have been paying into the system. And this is what happened. And then we have this ripple effect. So then everybody, well, so-and-so should have did this. But I said, but so-and-so should have did this. You know, like children. When are we going to hold these people accountable? So now we have to suffer for their trifling, being trifling. People that's been in office. We have to suffer for that. The post office system, it was because of the way we were going to vote, let's face it, that they started fooling with the post office, taking up the mailbox, doing everything.
Remember that Trump changed the supervisor or whoever was over?
He did.
Yeah, he changed.
And this is still going on now.
Yeah, yeah.
We're still fooling with this person. He said, we can't get the country together, so we're having all these shortages now. And people are getting tired. Okay, let me go and retire. It was interesting to note that for the gas shortage, that we need the trucks to move, okay? A lot
right.
of the people who've been driving, so you have to have special ability to drive those tanks and trucks like that. So I'm saying, hey, I'm not dealing with this mess. I'm retiring. So then we have a slew of trucks and no drivers. No drivers to bring the gasoline and things in. Sure, we have a problem with the pipeline. But see, things have been like this. We have been these sloppy politicians in office who will not do their job. They want to look big but don't want to do the groundwork to keep everything going. Just from this, it's not so much the pandemic. It's what people have been doing with the money. They've been arguing over who did the what. I was going to where, you know, the grid, it should have been taken care of. You take care of what's needed in order to keep the country going. And we're still dealing with this mess of the election. That should have been over with. Now they're going to go back and look at this. No, because one person can't take the fact that he lost.
Yeah.
And you still keep making it a deal. All of them should be fired.
Oh, if only.
Even entertain that. We can't
only.
Pull our country together because he keeps playing around. This country does not go around one person. You're moving forward. We can't compete or anything. We're stuck. I feel bad for President Biden because it keeps the country split. And, you know, he's dictating, you know, this is wrong. There's more than one person in this country.
That's true.
We let you know how we feel about that person. We served him when he was in office. A lot of things we disagreed with. A lot of people lost their lives because of recycling it.
That's true.
We're trying to move it ahead. But we voted these people in office, and they're leaving us with a mess. Now they want the finance and they want to dump it on the consumer. You've been hit hard anyway. We've lost a lot of lives. It looks like
yeah.
numbers, but those are people. Those are people because of this trifleness.
Right.
Trying to tear down everything the former president did. No, that's ridiculous. We cannot move this country ahead. And a lot of the countries, like one minister was saying, a lot of the countries, we have enemies out there. That likes to take advantage of it. We can't pull it together. Because we're still buzzing around this one person with his finger in his mouth. It was stolen from me. It's sickening.
Well, you're right.
He's
you
never
know,
grown
it's
up.
Hard to pull, it's hard to pull the country together when you got one whole party that is perpetrating a lie and basing their whole kind, you know, political livelihood on that.
No, it's wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong, but, you know, their constituents voted them in, And unless they vote him out, it's going to be business as usual, you know, which is...
He was voted out. We voted him out.
Oh, well, Trump was, but his constituents aren't, you know. They got rid of Liz Cheney off of her committee assignment because she
didn't go along with the lie. She didn't go along with the lie. And they, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And one man.
This is a problem. We can't move ahead. We can't compete anymore. Education-wise,
right.
We can't get our children in school the
right
way.
Right.
So that everyone can
be
coming together.
We've got
enemies out there. They're waiting, too.
And, you know.
You can't be talking about all these bombs we can throw. They got theirs to throw back here, too, now. Hey, what you going to say about that? But it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We can't bring in any order in this country. And it's sad. They talk about making America great again. America's never been great. Now we look ridiculous. It looks ridiculous.
Well, I don't
know. They're going to put the blame on the consumer. You're the one that's been hit hard when you can't pay your gas, your lights, or whatever. A lot of people say, hey, well, why go to work? If I can get this little money and try to make it stretch and do what I want, why go to work?
Yeah.
We're suffering
with
$1,000. You can't go to work. What for?
Some did say that.
Ridiculous. Now they're trying to make up their minds we could have a continental Congress. In other words, now we want to go and change the actual Constitution to fit what we want. They need 34 states. They got 30 states right now. I remember when the former president took office, the first thing he tried to do was go into, I think it's the 14th Amendment, to change the citizenship amendment. They give people their citizenship. What did he want that for? To change what? He started throwing people out of it, you know, talking about other countries. The United States have fed and bred off these other countries. They're trying to pull their lives together. Throwing everybody out the country, doing this, throwing out, you know. What is the deal here? What is
it? Well,
with the Congress,
we need.
They can change that. No matter what we change as far as the federal government, the federal level, when they go in and change the actual Constitution, you still don't have anything. The voting rights and all of this. We're trying to change it at the federal level so it will control the state. He's trying to go into the Constitution itself that does control the entire federal. What is it? We can't pull it together to be an asset not only to ourselves but to the world. People are really
to our children.
It is the next generation. We can't deal with it because of all this. What's going on? One person, no.
Well,
one person.
He got a lot of folks.
Go ahead.
No, my
co-host
had something to say.
Oh, excuse me. I'll get off my soapbox.
That's okay.
That's okay. I lost my train of thought about 15 minutes ago, but it's all good. Just sit back, listen to Sister Lucy.
Yeah. She's upset.
It's all good.
She's mad. I hope she don't run into Trump.
If I do hate him, tell me about it.
I think he doesn't met me. Mad and frustrated, you know, with not only with the voter suppression laws and, you know, just all these.
And all these black folks getting killed.
I'm tired of hearing it.
I'm tired of hearing it, too. It doesn't stop. It don't stop, you know.
No,
it hasn't stopped anything.
Yeah, I mean, every day is something new, and then, you know.
Every day.
But now, you know, they're starting to go back and open up some of these old cases, like the case of the gentleman down in, Louisiana, Robert Greene, in May of 2019, after a short police chase. The police stopped him and commenced to beating him and bragged about it. And then turned around and told his family that he died when his car hit a tree. And then when they took him to the emergency room with all his wounds and everything, they had left the prongs from the taser in his back. And the doctor asked how those got there, so they had to change the whole story.
And then the doctor, weird that way, yeah.
Doctor even wrote in the paperwork that, you know, something doesn't add up. So the, you know, AP, Associated Press, just received some of the camera footage, about 40 minutes worth, and the family saw it, and the attorney, Lee Merritt, said that, you know, the mother and sister were wailing like they were at a funeral. I mean, it was so vicious and violent, just ridiculous, you know. So one of the cops, once he was informed that he was going to be fired, ended up dying in an auto accident that same day. I think he killed himself, actually. I think he ended up probably committing suicide so that his family could probably get his benefit.
Is this the young man that got shot in the back of his head?
No, this is another case.
Oh, well, you know, it's always the case, okay?
Yeah, this is another case.
Can't keep up.
This, he just got, you know, they just beat him up real bad and tased him when he was on the ground, you know, handcuffed and then shackled his feet and drug him by his feet, you know, his face scraping the ground. And yeah, I mean, you know, he told them, officers, I'm scared, you know, and he was apologizing, and they just commenced to beat him, and one of the officers, you know, he had so much blood on him, he said he hoped he doesn't have AIDS, and it's just terrible, you know, that...
It is.
Yeah, that these police forces... are infiltrated with these white supremacists from the
top
to the bottom, you know, so they can get away with it. I mean, even the DAs and prosecutors are, you know, sympathetic.
Oh, they are too.
And they sweep it under the rug.
And a lot of them are Ku Klux Klansmen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so it's, that's a whole nother show, you know, talking about. And that was part of the Ku Klux Klan strategy, was to infiltrate the military and the police forces. And they've done so quite well. And I think we just have to organize black people, because now they've got this Stop Asian Hate movement going.
Yeah.
Everybody can have a movement, but black people. When black people have a movement, it's they want to compare it to terrorists. Organizations like Black Lives Matter. You know, everybody matters for black people. You know, they hate black people.
They're afraid of black people.
Yeah, they're afraid of us and they hate us. And, you know, and they commence to trying to keep us in our place. You know, and it's, you know, it just depends on how far back you want to go. That's just like, this professor that they refused to give her tenure.
That was interesting, yeah.
Yes.
Nicole Hannah Jones.
I saw that,
yeah. Because she came out with the 1619 project. And,
right.
He was against that project. Don't say it. Don't let it be in school and all that. Is that the project?
Yeah.
Was that the critical race theory.
That these white, you know, Republicans and GOP are trying to whitewash history, and they don't want to talk about it like it really happened. You know, they want to promote the Confederacy and condemn, you know, anything else. You know,
and she can't get tenure.
Nope, she can't get tenure. Not at University of North Carolina.
Well,
so the committee, you know, that was, you know, formed to select tenured professors, had voted for, and everybody, you know, had voted that she was a prime candidate, and the board bowed to the political pressure. And, I mean, I'm sure the board...
I wonder if that was Trump.
Well, you know, Trump didn't like it. Didn't like the 1619 Project, but, you know, I think it goes beyond him. You know, I don't think we can blame everything on him. We can blame
him. Oh, we can't.
We can blame people who are listening to him. But
yeah.
This is the only way that they can make it, is to marginalize everybody else. Only thing they can hold on to power. That's the only way they can hold on to power. To marginalize everybody else in some way or another, and especially the black, African-American community.
My thing is to internalize
that and start doing it to each other.
We do that.
I mean, it's a strategy, and they're playing it out
on each other.
Isn't that what the man said, told the police? What is he? He was a sub or a volunteer fireman and told the police, don't keep running to them black people's house, let them kill each other.
Yeah, volunteer firefighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't he want to turn around and apologize and say he didn't mean it that way?
Oh, yeah, he did.
He meant it.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they mean something, the problem I have is the fact that we still practice it within the black community. If we can pull our community together, we can make it.
But the thing with that is that we don't like each other.
We don't. We don't like each other. As far as, and we show it. We've been taught to hate each yourself.
Right.
You know, like they say, you know, to love a person like you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, the person next to you is in trouble. That's it. That is it. They're in trouble, and we're in trouble. With our children, next generation, no matter what you do, you have to teach them to love and respect themselves. I remember my kids were little because they were adopted, and people in the family were whispering about it. And so I had my children stand in front of the mirror and say, I like myself. I made them say it and say it and say it and say it over. To feel good about themselves. I made them stand in the mirror. They were just laughing and stuff, but I made them keep saying it. And some got to liking themselves too much. But to feel good about yourself, no matter what. It's the way that you feel about yourself, the way you're going to pull yourself out of a lot of the problems that you have to face.
That's true.
You need a best friend. You better start being your own best friend.
I know that's right.
It is, and we can pull it together if we can. You know, we just won't pull it together. We just won't.
No.
And it's sad to say that, but one person don't stop no country. They've been over and over, and then the Supreme Court, to me, they're making a lot of rules and stuff they're not supposed to be dealing with, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, absolutely.
They're in a lot of stuff that they shouldn't even be bothered with.
Yeah, well, those are Trump's. Don't forget, those are Trump's people.
It is.
Yeah, those are Trump's people.
No, you're supposed to do it, and God requires justice. You don't say, if you're in that position, he requires you that is going to be on those people. Justice, and do it right. He's a just God. They don't bother, well, I don't believe in God. Well, you're going to find out. When you take that position, I don't care how you get it, it's a standard that you're supposed to hold up. And it's sad to see them arguing and fiddling and playing around with people's lives. It's sad to see that. Don't even have a post office now. Well, in older people, I have one friend, she makes out all her little bills, write her checks out, and she drives okay to this post office. She don't mail it in Detroit. She drives out of Detroit to mail it in the white, where the white folks live, her mail, so she can get her mail, so she can get her bills paid.
Yeah, on time. You're right.
That's sad.
That's what she does. Yeah. That's what she does.
I would not trust the post office to pay a bill
Especially well, that's what she's been saying. So far, it's been happening. But what I notice here is a lot of times they go through faster. Now, the mail in Detroit, I've heard so many horror stories. It's bad. It really is
bad.
You can't get anything done. It takes them a long time, even the pandemic. But the biggest thing that even with the pandemic, what happened in Texas should not have happened. It should not have happened.
The grid.
It should not have happened.
Well, you know,
they were supposed to take care of it.
Well, they feel a certain way about energy. I mean, you know, they'll charge you, you know, so much, and that keeps their profits up. Now, you know, they got to spend $1 billion or more, then that's going to cut into the profits. Ain't nobody got time for that until, you come up with a big unexpected storm and get shut down. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if they...
Too many things unexpected is happening that should have been taken care of. Even for this pandemic. That's true. Even for this pandemic, because the former, the president before the former one, noticed that we've become like it's a global neighborhood, so to speak. Anything can happen. I remember how he handled the Ebola thing in Africa, knowing that the seriousness, he sent people there with everything he had to stop that Ebola epidemic. And he was able to do it. This man
well,
so busy throwing people
that.
Out the country. Beg your pardon?
They don't believe in the science.
Hmm.
Not what
they
you
don't,
believe.
They
You're responsible for
that.
People's lives. It's sad to see that. It really is. That's all I had to say, Miss Jenny White. Now sit back and try to be a good girl.
Is that
possible? One money monkey don't stop no whole United States of America. We can't move ahead. It's crazy. And it's wrong.
Well,
thanks
you're
so
right
much.
About that. Okay.
Thanks so much.
And anytime you want to talk about
sound
it.
Sound off.
Right.
Now let me
just
go take my down pill. Thanks so much. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. Well, Mr. Cole, my co-man.
Yes,
did
Jenny
you have
White,
something?
I think that.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that that probably takes us to the top of the hour.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we had a good show talking about a number of different topics, because there's always a number of different topics to talk about, you know, especially when you're dealing with these politricksters, you know, up to their usual shenanigans. It just gets a little tiring.
Yes, it
doesn't
does.
Seem like it's getting any better. The rich get richer and the poor get poor. It's never been more true. And it's, you know, all rooted in classism. You know, racism and classism.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
You can't win if you're black, but you definitely can't win if you're poor. So, you know, we, like Miss Lucy was saying, we have to come together at some point and put a plan together to fight and stand up against the masses. But a lot of our black leaders, you know, have gotten old and dying off, and who's going to take their place? Doesn't seem like too many people are stepping up to the plate. So I don't know what the future holds. You know, I just sometimes feel like I could be doing more. and feel helpless at times because sometimes you don't know where to start.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to do something to start somewhere.
Yes.
And I just hope you can get enough like-minded people to work with you. I mean, you know, I was trying to, a few years ago, have a men's breakfast just so the brothers could talk about men's issues. And,
You should have got their numbers and kept that going. That would have been nice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I did it, and at some point, you know, I've got plans to do some other things, but it gets tiring, you know. You're trying to organize and put things together to help people, and, you know, it seems like they have better things to do or they're not interested. At some point, you know, you just decide to move on, keep it moving, and, you know, I can take care of myself and my own stuff. And, or I just need to find a new group of people. You know, and at that point, you know, I started attending the church's men's breakfasts, and they were quite successful and doing quite well. And I didn't have to have the effort or frustration. But I just found it frustrating trying to incorporate. And that was just with the people I knew. And maybe I, you know, was dealing with the wrong people. Sometimes you have to expand your network. And sometimes you can get more done with strangers. Because everybody that come with you can't go with you.
And, yeah, it's
you
true.
Know, never truer words have been spoken. So, I mean, you know, it's a learning experience and a teachable moment for me, at least, you know. So I've learned some things. But, yeah, I mean, you know, great show. Talk about not only the price of things going up, but, you know, the world has forever changed. We've got a new normal now. Things will never be the same.
That's true.
So what are your final thoughts?
Well, I had a couple things I wanted to say, but it's just the fact that hopefully with this pandemic is kind of sort of gone or whatever you want to call it, because of the mask. If you have been vaccinated, that you can take your mask off outside and inside. So that's a good thing. Some people say they're going to continue, you know, to keep their mask on. So I don't blame them. But we're going to get through this. And just for the last thing to say, stop being afraid of what could go wrong and start being excited about what could go right. So we are not to stop. If others don't want to do anything, we have to keep moving. We just have to keep it moving. And one day they'll want to, you know, grab on your train, but then it'll be too late. So anyway, tonight is what? May the 21st, and we're all done. And I'd like to say, be safe. If you don't want to wear your mask, it's okay. If you do want to wear it, it's okay. If you have to go into a store and they require it, do not argue with the people. Either put one on and do what you have to do, or turn around and go somewhere else. It's that simple. So with that having been said, I'm saying good night. This has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Good evening.